many we're gonna get a glimpse in this passage here in Acts chapter 15 about the heart of the apostle Paul, the heart of his ministry as he was in the process of carrying it out. So Paul, he was an amazing person, and he was a great church planter. Thank you so many churches. I can't even imagine. If I could live to be as old as Methuselah, I couldn't imagine planting the same church as the apostle Paul did. I think that the amount of responsibility, the work that involved in planting one church, but to those who traveled all the cities that he did, was quite a feat. And of course, it wasn't a feat that he accomplished, it was a feat that God had accomplished through him. But he was all the way, he was a passionate person. You know, I don't think you ever read about Paul doing something half-heartedly. Even when he was a Pharisee, serving with the Pharisees as their bodyguard, as their guardsman, accomplishing their agenda, trying to, in that way, destroy the church in Jerusalem. Paul was doing it wholeheartedly. At the stoning of Stephen, Paul was involved with it wholeheartedly. He did things with a passion. He did things with a stirring, with a fervent desire. If you read about his prayer life, if you read about his actions, everything he did with all his might. I heard this said one time. The Bible says we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our might. That word might, that's quite important. That means that we go to it in the way a soldier would go into battle. Fully equipped, fully ready, fully charging ahead to accomplish that. Paul, he did things with a wholehearted passion. We're going to see four things about the Apostle Paul in the text here in Acts 17. Let's begin reading in verse 24. And just by way of background, Paul, he's on the second missionary journey. Second missionary journey. And the Bible says, as they went through the city, they delivered them the decrees for the speech that were ordained of the apostles and elders, directors, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. What's happening here is Paul is traveling through current day southern Turkey. He's visiting the churches that had been started during his first missionary journey. He's going there, visiting them, asking, hey, how's it going, brother? How's it going, pastor? How's the ministry going? He's preaching, he's encouraging the people in the faith, challenging them in the Word of God, checking up on their on the spiritual growth, on the discipleship, checking up on the ministries that are taking place. He's sort of like with an accountability mindset in mind. He's establishing them in their faith, making sure they're walking the straight and narrow path, the straight and narrow way of Jesus Christ. He's visiting his churches and he's establishing them in the faith. And as a result of all this, more people are being saved and they're being added to this church. More people are being added to their Jerusalem, if I may use the term. And these churches they're growing numerically, they're growing spiritually, and they're being established. So this is a good thing that takes place. But now he's visited all these churches that have already been started, and Paul decides, well, let's keep on going down the road. Let's keep moving. Let's keep walking down the road to new cities, new areas, new territory that needs to be pioneered, new churches that need to be established. In verse 27, there's some interesting things taking place here in verse 27. The Bible says, now, when they had gone throughout Persia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Church, sounds like Paul ran into a very strong road to war. He wants to preach the gospel, he wants to see church started in his two cities, and the Holy Ghost forbids them to preach the word in Asia. Don't just keep going down the road. And after verse 7, after they returned to Lycia, they essayed to go down into Bithynia, but the Spirit stopped them not. So again, he's running into a closed door. And the great decision is a lot of times to say, you know, just go on out there, just go do the work. But sometimes the ministry, you do legitimately run into closed doors. And so that's the closed God, but that's the legitimately wanting to do a good thing. But sometimes God's resolution closes that door. So verse number 8, they who fought against you should keep going. And if you fought, it doesn't give up. This difficult door, a lot of times, we find a good door. We're tempted to give up. We're tempted to say, okay, well, I'm done with this ministry. It's not working out anymore. It's not Paul does. Paul knows that the Great Commission, fulfilling the Great Commission, starting churches is his calling. So he's going to continue doing that, even if he can't find the right place. So, alright, he just keeps going down the road. In verse 8, they're passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Verse 9 and 10 is going to be a reception. The Bible says a vision appears to Paul. And the good of man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel.
In the chapel services, and I sit in the Mississippi Conference.
churches, and I hear this, they get up and they share they share their, they show their presentations, they share their burden and go preach the gospel and start preaching in this country and in that country, and I would sit there and I'd say, oh wow, it'd be great to go and open up and pray and go to that country and do that. But you know, at the end of the day, when I laid my head on the pillow last night, there was something that I kept going back to, something that I couldn't get rid of. And in fact, it's been this way for 10 years now, or not 10, 9 years now. 9 years now, and that is first place. And I can sit here, these are 100 missionaries. I love to support all of them. There are 100 missionaries here. I'd love to go help all of them. I'd love to go to all the missionaries. But at the end of the day, when I lay my head on my pillow at night, the only thing that comes back to me is that Hamburg, Pennsylvania, needs a church. You can't get away from it. In fact, when I was, I'll share a little bit about that, a little more about the Pennsylvania, I was 16 years old. I wanted to be president of the United States. You're 16 years old, wanted to be president of the United States. Don't do it. Probably not the will of God. Sorry, first of all, but don't do it. And that was the biggest part of my life. And because I knew that God wanted me to be in some kind of ministry. I knew that God wanted me to be serving Him, maybe as a pastor in some form of Christian service. And I had my own desire. And at the end of that summer, I went to, my family attended an evangelistic service at a small church. And the evangelistic church, and I only remember the church, it was Living the Christian Life. And I realized that I want to live a true Christian. I would have to do what I knew that God wanted me to do. I knew that if I said no to God right then, at that point, it would affect me years down the road, and I would probably not be leading a godly life. Well, I'm going that night. God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. I know you want me in some kind of ministry. It's your choice. You should do it. Maybe it's still out west. It would drive an hour to go to Walmart, 2 hours to go to McDonald's, and 3 hours to go to the next town over. Maybe that's okay. But here, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people within a very short distance. And other people said, well, but I told them, I said, it's not right that people are driving this long distance to go to church. I said, there needs to be a church in this town, and there should be a church over here in this town. And this church up here needs a town, and this church down here needs a town. And my mom, she looked at me and she said, ah, nothing. What are you going to do? And what I read here about what Paul went through, he's trying to find the will of God, and he has this vision that appeared to him in the night of a man in Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. I know exactly how Paul feels because I feel the same way. I want to serve the Lord. You know, we need godly people in politics. We need godly people in all forms of occupation. But we need godly people surrendering to full-time Christian service and starting churches in this country and starting churches in the uttermost parts of the world. Paul had a vision for the future. A vision for the future. Where's our vision? Where is it looking? In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, it is. Now, the Old Testament idea of the word vision is a prophet would have a vision at night or while he's sleeping of a dream, or maybe he would have a vision and the Lord would appear to him, and the Lord would give him words. And the prophet would hear these words. The prophet would write the words down in a book. And then he would go out to the people. And he'd stand out on the corner of the marketplace or out in the city. He'd walk the city. And he would declare the vision that he had received. He would declare the word of God. But there are places, even here in America, even in our own backyard, where there is no vision of God because the Word of God is not being properly proclaimed. Only 8% of the United States of America goes to any kind of church. There is a need for every Christian, every church, but I talk about churches, but let's make it personal, folks. Every single person, every single individual here tonight, God wants you to open the Bible, look into the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty tonight, and get a vision of God. We don't necessarily have God appearing before us today, but when we open the pages of Scripture and read verse by verse, we can see Jesus in every single book. And if you get nothing out of it, and nothing else tonight, please open your Bible and see Jesus. And then go out to your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your co-workers, anyone you can find, and show them the vision, the Word of God, Jesus. And if they don't see, if the world doesn't have a vision of Jesus, they don't have the Word of God. All he had was vision for the future. That vision is a vision. People say this is part of it. All he had was birth. Even if he were in prison, very good in his life, that only he was with him. So even at that point, he asked him one person that had believed him in prison, and he had started to change with him. And so he was always, I think he actually went really hard to find a place to fall, he was totally by himself. But Paul was a people person. You know, and there's people here tonight, he said, love getting out and socializing, you love being together with people. When I was in college, I had a one of our students. He was really good. He had to be around people. And if he was by himself too long, he'd go nuts. He was just a people person. He said, I just had to be around people. Because if I have a problem, he would tell me that he just had to go and get around people and just be with people to help him through his problems. He was very helpful. Being with people and helping deal with problems. You know, different. I'm wired different. If I have a problem, I want to be alone. You know, you stay on your side of the property, I'll stay on mine. Let me just take a nap, let me read the Bible, let me pray. So you can be alone for a few minutes, and then I'll be fine. It's totally weird. But how in the world can you recharge yourself by being alone? You don't have a spirit. You know, people are wired different. Paul was wired to be a people. When he looked at people, when he saw individuals, he saw people in their true state. A lot of times, you come to church, everybody's here, they're smiling, they're And they're dressed up nice and happy to be here. And sometimes it's difficult to identify. Some of people are really tough times. They get tough at first. They're really happy. But when Paul went out to the highways and edges, he went out to the city. He saw people. Our hearts are surge within us. And we say, oh, yes, the gospel needs to grow there. And maybe the missionary preaches, and you walk around, you pray to the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm gonna do my part to support this missionary, and I'm going to do my part here, right here in my own church. But then, at the end of the day, we go home, and we're about to sleep. We wake up in the morning, and we go to our work, we come home, we do our routine at home, we go to bed, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home, we do our routine at home, and then we go to church on Sunday, we do that routine again, and we get into it. And what took place, that service was really great, but true compassion, a true burden for the world around us did not take place. What took place was empathy. We see a person's need, but we do not turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 illustrates this in a beautiful way. James 2 and verse 16. The Bible says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. What we see here is a person with a legitimate need. It's a physical need, but they have a legitimate need. And verse 16 describes what you do about their need. The Bible says, one of you say to them, depart in peace. Be ye warned as will. But now let me translate that. They're going to put the name in there. One of them. Or his brother. Now, prayer is good. Words of encouragement are good. But is that rest of that verse says, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, you do not meet their needs, what does it profit? James says here, what did your word profit because you didn't do anything about their needs? You didn't give them the coat that they need. You didn't give them the meal that they need. You didn't meet their needs. But we got a world of people around us who need the gospel. We might tell our co-worker occasionally, I'll pray for the brother. That's not what they need. They don't necessarily need prayer because their mother's sister's barber is having cancer. They need prayer to get saved. They need prayer for the Holy Spirit to convict their lives. They need prayer that God will give you as their co-worker, as their friend, a divine appointment to show them Jesus Christ. That is what we do. And so many times our hearts are stirred to do what's right, and we say, yes, we gotta support that missionary, we gotta fulfill the Great Commission, we gotta pass out tracts and go on visitation, but we don't experience genuine compassion that actually goes out and makes a difference in people's lives. What is genuine compassion? Genuine compassion, if you were to go to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is preaching to cities, and it's city after city after city, and he's declaring the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He's declaring, he's healing people, he's doing great works for people, and as he sees the multitudes, and his heart is moved with compassion. And what does he do? He works even harder to go out and meet their needs. He heals more people. He preaches to more cities. And he works even harder to reach the people of Israel. Find a person who is actively out there, actually meeting, physically meeting a person's needs. That person. Look out there at Jesus. Right here in this. Look at them. See the true state where they're going. They need Paul had a vision for the future. He had a burden for the people. He had a urgency to go. Back in Acts chapter 16, the apostle. Paul. He's going city to city. He didn't waste any time. He's traveling around, and he passed by this city, and the Spirit says no. He passed by this city, and the Spirit says no. And then the Spirit says, I forbid you to preach the word in Asia. And he just keeps on moving. And I don't know about you, but I don't think the Apostle Paul had a slow walk when he was traveling from city to city. I think he was moving. I think he was keeping going, and he arrives at Troas, and he just said, okay, and we're all going to go to sleep, and so that everyone with his group, I imagine Luke was with him, maybe Timothy, maybe his mother, Silas might have been with him, and they're asleep, and Paul has a vision, and I think, this is not scripture, but I think Paul had a vision, and he got woken up by God. I think the Lord revealed the will. It's his will to Paul, and I think Paul got up and rejoiced, and he said, wake up, everybody! Wake up, Timothy! Wake up, Luke! Wake up, Silas! The Holy Spirit has given me a vision, God's given me a vision, and we're going to start churches in Macedonia. This is what we're going to do. He was urgent about that. But why? Why was he urgent about that? Because he was urgent. If you were, say, a member of the CIA, working for the CIA, you became aware of a hijacker on top of the building. You come back and love you. You're a member of the CIA and you're aware of a hijacker on top of the building. You're going to be very, very hurt by everything. You're going to get on the phone. You're going to call. They're going to call the air. They're going to call the military. You're going to everything. The country will go on red alert because there is a major catastrophe that could happen at any moment. And the major catastrophe is that plane could crash and every person on it could die. That plane could be used to crash into a building and bring hundreds, maybe thousands more to death. And because of the urgency of the situation, in order to save life, members of the CIA, members of the military will act very quickly to try to salvage the situation. There's an urgency. But, he's not this one. He's made it a house. So, this is going on for a second. In every house, the population of dead men has a gift. This is a very good son. Paul did not wait. He did not give up. He did not wait. 2 Corinthians 6:2 it says, now is the acceptable time. It doesn't say today is the day of salvation. It says, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, if the Bible said today is the day of salvation, well, that means that you've still got 5 hours left in today. You can wait for midnight the next day. No. Now is the day of salvation. This very moment is when Jesus is in the world. And the world, the lost world around us, is not going to be another breath. Just like Paul, he writes the second issue. Now. Now. And it's now is the time to walk through the world. Paul understood this. I think he was caught up with it. There are many things that I have to that a couple weeks ago I had a man from this that did a practice. Another one said that. Because there are so many things out there, even good things. There are even good things out there who distract us away from it. And they distract us away from the job for certain things. It's all what's happening. We have been talking to Jesus about and all the urgent questions. Paul, he had a vision for the future. He had a burden for the people. He had an urgency to go, and he had a story. what is it? A short is basically contour. I know there's a lot of young people, especially millennials, my generation, millennial generation, like to ask questions all the time. They question, why are we doing it this way? Why are we doing it that way? And sometimes they get irritated when others become very sure that this is the right way to go. Well, let me tell you something, folks. When we read something in the Bible, and the Bible teaches something, and it emphasizes something over and over and over again, we can be sure that it is true. You know how I can be sure that God loves me? Because the Bible teaches it, I can believe it, and have total confidence of God's love. But Paul was assured of his calling. He was totally convinced that preaching the gospel and starting churches was God's will for his life. Why was that? Well, you might say because Jesus Christ spiritually was those who asked him. You might say that he had a fervent prayer life, but I think that his assurance came from reading this book. I think his assurance came from hearing the account of people who do this. I think his assurance came from saving and the world of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ talked about Jesus Christ in this book. Several forms of the five different forms of the great Christian in the New Testament, and it's one different. Why are they so different? Why does it each five books say the same thing? Well, that's because Jesus said it over and over again, and I think he said it different ways to be sure that they got it. And they all got it, they just wrote it down in different ways. Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Mark 16, he says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, it says, thus it is written, and thus it concludes Christ's suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why did Jesus go through all that suffering? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John, Jesus Christ is sent, as the Father has sent me, even so, send I you. That was God. In Acts, you've heard a lot about this before. You say, wow, after all that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of but it's not enough. to hear the challenges of Brother Mike this morning, to hear this challenge tonight, and then to go home the same person. I don't want that. Brother Russ doesn't want that. I know Brother Pastor Schweitzer wouldn't want that. We want you to go home a different person. We want you to reach out to your friends and your coworkers differently, more fervently next week than you did last week. Don't think for one part of it. It's important to put it in place in love. Others, all this, the Lord, all this. Put it in place. My Father, I thank you for us and your invitation. That your Holy Spirit moves among our brothers and sisters. And I pray that movement will carry you to the world. I pray that you would help this church reach their Jerusalem, and I pray that you would build this church here as they reach their